Full House Coffee presents Good News of 1939. The makers of Maxwell House Coffee welcome you to another hour of music and gaiety with your favorite screen stars from the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios in Hollywood. And here is your host for the evening, Robert Young.
Thank you, Warren. Good evening, everybody. Just to set your minds at rest, I'd like to make one announcement right away. If you were with us last week, you may remember that we opened the program with a number in which I sang it. I didn't exactly sing it. That is, I threatened to sing it. As a matter of fact, I did sing a little of it, but the stalwart MGM chorus here were able to drown me out. Anyhow, tonight I won't sing at all. But just in case that announcement should disappoint some of you, which seems very doubtful, let me tell you who is going to sing on our show tonight. The most exciting new singing star of the year. The lovely lady who thrilled you all in the Great Waltz. Melissa Gorgeous. Other guests I'm sure you will enjoy are the cast of Hollywood's surprise preview of the past week. Our new drama, The Auto Racing Game, Burn 'Em Up O'Connor. You'll meet Dennis O'Keefe, Cecilia Parker, and Nat Pendleton. All this, of course, is in addition to Fanny Bryce and Hanley Stafford, Frank Morgan, Tony Martin, and Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Meredith starts us off now with a new rhythm number, Jubilee. Whenever you're ready, Meredith.
Straight from Romany, where a jubilee is like a jubilee. But you, I'm with you tonight, finding new delight in the magic of a jubilee melody. And while we're dancing just a kiss apart, I hear that rhythm in my heart.
Have you noticed anything peculiar about Frank Morgan?
I always do. That's what makes him Frank Morgan.
No, I mean tonight. And he isn't acting peculiar like he usually does. He's acting peculiar in a new way, and that's what seemed peculiar.
Oh, but you're all right, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Meredith, what did Frank do that struck you as out of the ordinary?
Well, usually he doesn't notice me at all. But tonight he seemed very friendly.
Oh.
And, well, I promised I wouldn't tell.
Oh, come on, Dizzy. You can tell your chum.
You won't let it go any farther.
Not an inch. Your secret dies with me, Dizzy.
Well, Frank gave me an absolutely sure tip on the fifth race today. If the odds are as good as he says, I'll probably make a lot of money.
Oh, sure. What's the name of the horse, Meredith?
The name of the horse is Blue Bolt.
Blue Bolt?
Blue Bolt. An absolute cinch.
Meredith, I can only give you one piece of advice. Don't bet any money on the horse.
But, Bob, it's a sure thing. I bet $10 on it.
$10?
Yes.
And, of course, another 10 for Frank.
I see. Was that Frank's idea?
I don't think so. He may have dropped some remark about a bet for him making me lucky. Yes, that was it. The one for him is a luck bet.
A luck bet. You'll need it, kid.
Thanks, Bob. Now, don't tell anybody. Promise.
Oh, don't worry, Meredith. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can see what's going on here, but we'd better be getting on with the show. Our next number will be...
Excuse me, Bob.
What's the matter, Warren?
Do you mind if I use this phone? Tony Martin's using the booth out in the hall.
Well, I suppose it's all right. Something urgent?
Urgent? I'll say it's urgent. I've got a sure thing in the fifth race, and I want to make a bet.
Warren, did you get a tip from Frank Morgan?
Yes.
Blue Bolt?
Oh, no, no. He gave me a sure winner. Yellow Jack.
Yellow Jack?
Yellow Jack? Yes, Yellow Jack. He's in the bag. I just want to get a little bet down. 10 for me and 10 for Frank. A little luck bet.
Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to see which way the luck is running. Well, go ahead and use the phone if you want to. No, wait a minute. Here's Tony Martin now. You can use the booth.
Okay.
Hiya, Tony. It's well to have you back.
Great to be back, Bob, and I really mean it. Hey, what's come over everybody?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, Frank Morgan never paid much attention to me before.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
But, Bob, he just gave me a dead cinch for the fifth race.
Oh, see if I can guess. It wasn't Blue Bolt.
No.
And it wasn't Yellow Jack.
No. I'll give them to you, Bob.
Uh-huh.
Don't let it get around, you know.
Uh-huh.
Force the odds down.
Don't worry, kid.
The name of the horse is Green Goddess.
Green Goddess?
Green Goddess. It's in the bag. When he comes in, he'll be carrying 20 bucks of mine on his back.
20?
10 for me and 10 for Frank.
Oh, the luck bet, sure. Well, Tony, my advice to you is to sing and sing good so you'll keep working. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, Bob, it's an oldie, but I think it's a goodie. Remember a tune of Johnny Green's called Out of Nowhere?
Sure, that's where Morgan gets his horses. Take it, Tony.
To me from out of nowhere, you took my heart and found it free. Wonderful dreams, wonderful schemes from nowhere, made every hour sweet as a flower for me. If you should go back to your nowhere, leaving me with a memory, I'll always wait for your return out of nowhere, hoping you'll bring your love to some long lost sea may have brought you to me. Your pale hands I've seen beside the Shalimar, your eyes like stars from heaven's own blue.
Nice going, Tony. Stick around. We'll need you again later.
Okay, Bob.
And now here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Fanny Bryce as Baby Snook. Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, has just returned from the office and is sitting quietly in his study, engrossed in the evening newspaper. Listen.
Look at Daddy.
Go away, Snooks.
Look at what I got.
I'm reading, Snooks.
I got a fish.
What? Snooks, put that fish in some water.
Why?
Because it'll die in your hands. Where'd you get it?
I took it from the pond in the park.
The park? Mm-hmm. You carried that goldfish all the way home in your hands?
Mm-hmm. Ain't it pretty?
Well, how on earth did it stay alive out of the water?
I kept spitting on it.
Put that goldfish in water. Here, slip it in this glass.
All right. It's swimming.
All right, leave it alone. I want to read.
Daddy.
What is it?
The fish is hungry.
Feed it.
Give me a pen and I'll buy a lollipop.
Fish don't like lollipops.
I like them.
Well, you can't have one. Let me read.
All right. Daddy.
What?
What do fishes eat?
I don't know. Big fish eat little fish.
Did whales eat goldfish?
No, any fish but goldfish.
Did whales eat sardines?
Yes.
How did they open the cans?
Oh, when fish are in the water, they're not in cans. They swim around in schools.
Goldfish, too?
Yes, goldfish swim in schools, too.
This one wasn't in school.
That's probably why you caught it. And it serves him right.
For playing hooky.
No, let me read my paper. Can I get a minute's peace in this house?
I won't bother you, Daddy.
Oh, all right. There.
Daddy!
Now, what is it?
I think the fish is gonna drown.
Oh, don't be silly.
He's got his mouth open.
He's breathing.
In the water?
Why, yes. Fish open their mouths, take in a quantity of water, and by a chemical process, they extract the oxygen from it and expel the rest through their gills.
Is it hard?
Why, no. Any fish can do it.
Let me see you do it, Daddy.
I'm not a fish.
Why?
Why? Because if I were a fish, you'd be a fish, too.
Why?
Because human beings don't have fish.
We had fish Friday.
We had fish for supper, but we don't have fish for children.
I had some.
Well, what of it?
Ain't I a children?
Will you let me read my paper?
All right. Daddy.
Oh, what do you want?
Was I a fish when I was born?
Stop those silly questions.
Did you have to take me or did you pick me out?
We picked you out.
Why?
Oh, so you're beginning to wonder, too.
Huh?
Nothing. Let me read.
Read to me, Dad.
No. Oh, all right, all right. Hand me that animal picture book. You might as well get a little lesson in zoology.
Here, Daddy.
Now, just don't ask too many questions, and I'll be able to explain things to you.
All right.
Now, this whole book is in alphabetical order, see?
Uh-huh.
Now, A stands for anteater. It's got an ugly long snout, very slovenly in its habits.
Uh-huh.
Very heavy, shapeless body and hardly any brain at all. Now, here's the picture.
Uh-huh.
Now, what is it?
Uncle Louie.
Now, I just told you. Ant?
Ant selfie.
B stands for bear. See the bear? See his warm fur coat? He wears that all the time. All the time.
Why don't he take it off?
Because he was made that way.
Who made him?
Oh, the angels.
I can take my coat off.
I sure you can. Because you just find the buttons, open them up, and take it off. Now, can the bear take off his warm fur coat?
No.
Why?
Because only the angels know where the buttons is.
Oh, forget it. C stands for cat. I hope I don't have to tell you what a cat is.
No, Daddy.
All right, you describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Describe it. What do cats have that no other animals have?
Cage.
I see. Well, let's go to the next page. D stands for... Do you know what this picture is?
Uh-huh.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
What is it?
I don't know.
I thought so. D stands for... D-E-E-R. What's that?
dog.
No, D-E-E-R. Look at the picture. What does Molly call me? What are you laughing at?
That ain't a donkey.
I'm going to read. Now get out of the room.
I don't want.
I'm warning you, Snooks.
I'm warning you, Snooks.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Snooks.
Snooks.
Will you stop mocking me?
Will you stop mocking me?
Oh, all right. I just won't talk.
All right. I just won't talk.
Stop it, I say.
Stop it, I say.
Snooks is a dope.
Snooks is a dope.
Warren, whenever I see that enthusiastic light in your eye, I know it's time for a word from you on your favorite topic.
And the favorite topic with most Americans, Bob, every day of the week. For good coffee contributes more to the enjoyment of living in this country than anywhere else in the world. That's why we're glad that more and more people are finding pleasure and downright satisfaction in the new Maxwell House coffee. Proud that more people, in fact, are buying Maxwell House coffee today than ever before in its history.
Well, I'm mighty proud to hear that too, Warren. And I'm sure you can tell us why.
We believe we do know why. Friends, from the day it was created more than half a century ago by that master coffee blender, Joel Cheek, Maxwell House has been known and appreciated as one of the world's finest coffee. Millions of people considered it just about perfect. But today, after months of effort and experimentation, we are able to say that this famous blend of superb coffees is now richer, more delicious, more full-bodied than ever before. You'll taste its extra goodness in your very first steaming, fragrant cup. Then, too, we think you'll appreciate that remarkable new radiant roast process we've developed, which roasts each coffee bean evenly all the way through, and so brings out the true, natural flavor of the superb new blend. No chance of bitter coffee due to parching or weak coffee due to under-roasting. This new Maxwell House comes to you roaster fresh in the same familiar blue super vacuum can, with all its marvelous flavor and fragrance sealed in, none wasted. So if you haven't tried Maxwell House lately, won't you order a pound tomorrow? We think you'll say,
this is the finest coffee I've ever tasted.
We think you'll agree this new Maxwell House is more than ever good to the last drop.
Oh, hello, Bob.
Frank, how are you?
Fine. Could I just have a word with you, old man?
Why, sure, Frank.
You've always been a good friend of mine.
Well, I've tried to be.
And I want to do you a favor.
Well, it's mighty nice of you, Frank.
Oh, it's no trouble at all. Bob, do you know anything about horses?
Not a thing. Why?
Well, now, listen. I want to give you an absolutely certain winner in the fifth race this afternoon.
Sure thing?
Oh, he'll come in like he was alone on the track.
What's the name of the horse, Frank?
Well, now, don't tell anybody else. White Queen. He'll probably start at 30 to 1.
White Queen, huh?
Yes.
Seems to me I've heard a lot of talk about a horse named Blue Bolt.
Blue Bolt. Oh, Blue Bolt. He hasn't got a chance.
Oh. Well, I've also heard some people talking about Yellow Jack.
Yellow Jack? Uh-huh. Well, he's a truck horse, Bond.
Oh.
He shouldn't be allowed in the race at all. Now, White Queen is positively the only horse in the race.
Well, gee, Frank, I'm much obliged to you. Of course, I never bet.
Oh, you never...
No.
Well, of course, I know you don't gamble, Bob, but when you bet on this horse, you really just investing money.
Uh-huh.
I mean, $10 on this horse is like putting your money in government bonds. And when you make the bet, you can absolutely insure it by making what we call a luck bet.
Oh, a luck bet?
Yeah.
What's that, Frank?
Well, you bet $10 for yourself and $10 for me. And that way you can't lose. Well, I'll see you later, Bob.
Oh, has he got a nerve. He must think all people are chumps. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with the... excuse me just a minute. Let me have Crestview 1567, please. Hello. Let me speak to Mrs. Young, please. This is Mrs. Young. Hello, dear. Say, I'm not going to bring Frank Morgan home to dinner after all. No, the fellow's too slick. I don't want him in my house. What did he do? He just gave me a phony tip on a horse, and I don't... Well, the name of the horse is White Queen, but what's the difference? Frank doesn't know anything. He's just given four people in the program four different horses for the fifth race. I don't want a fellow like that around. You had a dream. So what? You dreamed our grass turned white and it looked wonderful. So you think we should bet on White Queen? Well, I don't think so, but of course, if the horse should win, I'd certainly feel like a sap. What's that? Oh, of course, Frank might know something. Well, maybe I should put a little protection bet on him. No, not $2. Make it 10. Yes, and another 10 for Frank. Sure, a luck bet. All right, dear, I'll be home right after the show. And could we have Brussels sprouts for dinner? No, I hate them, but Frank likes them. Yes, dear, goodbye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you'll pardon the interruption. It is now my pleasure to present the charming lady who became a star in The Great Waltz, Miss Melissa Korchus. It's certainly grand having you here. What are you going to sing, Miss Korchus?
Traviata.
Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't often give encores on radio programs, but we knew we'd need one for Miss Korchus tonight. Her encore, Bizet's Tarantella. Ah, that was beautiful, Miss Korchus. Beautiful indeed. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
hey,
we continue.
Is Frank Morgan around here?
I think so. Who wants to see him?
Just tell him Harry. I'm his bookie.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Does Mr. Morgan win much money?
He hasn't won a bet all season. He bets $2 to show on the favorites. He owes me $16 from yesterday.
Yesterday, and you're here to collect it now?
Listen, buddy, you run your business now, run mine. Where's Morgan?
All right, all right. I'll get him. Frank! Frank!
Oh, coming, Bob. What is it? What are you doing here?
You know what I want.
Well, you'll have to come to see me some other time. I can't talk about insurance today. Goodbye, my
neck. What? Give me that dough.
Do you let your insurance man talk that way to you, Frank?
Oh, well, that's my policy. Well, good day, sir.
Give me the money.
Harry, will you get out of here? How does it look, a man coming in here in front of all these people?
All right, give me the dough and I'll blow.
I said, all right, sir. Here, I've got a check all made out. And you can send the policy to my house.
Oh, sure. So long, kid.
Kid. These insurance men.
Mm-hmm. Since when does the Globe Life take bets on horses?
The horse. Did he say anything to you, Bob?
No, he just told me he was your bookmaker.
Oh, I've been kicked by a horse.
No. Frank, I don't know why you lie to me.
Well, I wouldn't want people to know, but I just gave him a check for $80,000.
$80,000?
Yeah, just one bet. Horse lost by a lip.
Listen, Tout, that tip you gave me in the fifth race, is that on the level?
Absolutely, Bob. You can depend on my tips. Wherever Morgan is, you'll find the dope. Who said that?
I wish I had. Listen, Frank, that bookie told me you lost only $16. Where did you get that $80,000 stuff?
Well, he's suffering from a very rare ailment. Fisticuffs disease.
Fisticuffs disease?
Yes, it makes him want to reduce figures.
See what he can do for my Aunt Emma, will you?
But actually, Bob, there's not much thrill in horse racing.
No?
No, not for a man who's lost 50,000 francs on the turn of a card, the roll of a die, the spin of a wheel.
The bull of a watch time.
Young, you'll soon be in demand as the toastmaster at banquets.
Mm.
Evidently, you wouldn't care to hear about the time I broke the bank at Monte Carlo.
Oh, come on, Frank. I'd love to hear it.
Oh, would you? Well, all right. Some years ago, I decided to visit the French Riviera for my health.
Was your health bad?
No, it was excellent, but I wanted to improve it. I sailed from New York on the 5th of June, traveling light, only 54 pieces of luggage.
Traveling light, 54 pieces?
Yes, a deck of playing cards and a pair of socks. I like to amuse myself by playing solitaire. And sure enough, the boat had not been out 5 minutes before I was indulging in my favorite pastime.
Dry martinis.
Yes. No, I was drinking old... I was playing solitaire. After a pleasant voyage, we docked at Cherbourg, and I went straight to the Riviera and rented a gorgeous villa.
By the sea?
No, by the week. I wish you could have seen it, Bob. Downstairs, Louis the 14th. Upstairs, Louis the 15th. In the attic, Louis Dubois.
Wait a minute. What's Louis Dubois?
Well, he was the caretaker's brother. He lived up there with a goat.
A goat?
But not only the house. The whole countryside was beautiful, Bob. Lovely woodlands, abounding in all kinds of game. Oh, how I love to hunt.
What do you shoot?
$2.
You're faded.
It's a 7.
The dice are loaded.
Yes. Well, I organized the hunting party, and we went...
Frank.
Yes.
Will you get to Monte Carlo and break the bank, please?
Well, now, don't be so impatient, Young. It's these little details that make the story live.
Go on, Frank.
Well, I organized a hunting party with some of my neighbors, and on the third day, one of them shot a boar.
Show me the wound, Frank.
Callow urchin. It isn't strong enough as they've written it. Have you never heard the words... Have you never heard the words of Seneca? Sarcasm is the weapon of fools.
No.
At any rate, with the outdoor life of the woodland, my health soon improved to a point where I craved diversion.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, about 10 o'clock, the blasé hangers-on of Monte Carlo sat up in their chairs as a handsome, faultlessly tailored young man with the Legion of Honor across his shirt front strode into the casino. Inside of 2 hours, he had won 1 billion francs and broken the bank.
It was you.
No, I was at the next table, lost $1.80. But this man's magnificent courage inspired me, Bob. During the night, I pored over systems of roulette. During the day, I poured out magnums of champagne. Finally, I found it, Bob. Have you ever heard of the Stravinsky system of arithmetical progression?
No.
Well, it's infallible. And yet it's simplicity itself. The idea is to wait until red comes up on the wheel and then play black three times in a row, doubling your stake as you go along.
Uh-huh.
Then you switch to red twice and back to black once.
Back to black.
By this time, of course, your stakes have quadrupled.
Uh-huh.
But when you reach the 15 level, you divide by four and start at one.
And with that, you cleaned up, huh?
Every night, I won $50. There was only one hitch in the system.
What was that?
Well, it was costing me $200 a day to live.
Oh, a mere detail, Frank.
Yes.
When did you break the bank?
Well, it was the night after I met the Countess.
Oh,
what a charming woman she was. Regal, too, in a democratic sort of a way. When I first saw her, she was seated across the Chemin Fair table from me, dissolved in tears.
The Butte was crying?
Yes. It touched me to the quick, Bob. I glanced at the other players in the game. There was 10,000 francs in the pool, and I cried, Banco! The dealer flipped me a jack, a nine, and pushed the pile of money toward me. The crowd buzzed as I rose and said, It is for Madame. She looked up at me, her eyes filled with gratitude, stuffed the money into her evening bag, and rushed out of the casino.
What followed?
I did.
I thought so.
I hurried after her and saw her meet her husband in a little park near the casino.
Mm-hmm.
She handed him the banknotes without a word. He sneered and slapped her cheek. I boiled and leapt toward them.
Yes?
I flung my glove in his face and handed him my card.
A duel?
What else? Bob, it wasn't till morning. I discovered my adversary was Count Prinzmetal. The finest swordsman in all Europe. But I'm pretty handy with the épée myself, and we met behind the abbey with our seconds at dawn. We fought for 2 hours on the dewy grass in the weird half-light of the Mediterranean sunrise. I won't give you the details, but they buried the count where he fell.
You ran him through?
No, he tripped over a brick and broke his head. And the countess, well... The Countess is now Mrs. Z. George Tranfo of Chicago.
Well, I've got to hand it to you, Frank. You had a lot of nerve going up against the finest duelist in Europe.
Well, c'est la guerre. Bob, you see this little cicatrice here on my left cheek?
Yes, I never noticed it before. Scar from the duel?
No, I cut myself shaving this morning. Well, so long, boys. I've got to see a man about mine.
Well, Warren, I need neither script nor stopwatch nor the expectant look on Meredith Wilson's face to tell me what's next in the proceedings tonight. That wonderful fragrance in the air means only one thing.
Right you are, Bob. Time right now for that familiar Thursday evening custom of ours. A moment of relaxation over a steaming, freshly made cup of the new Maxwell House coffee.
And friends, as always, we're inviting all of you everywhere to join us in this friendly custom in your own home. We think you'll enjoy this show of ours still more over a cup of the coffee that's good to the last drop. And now, Warren, if you'll do the honors.
Bob, shall I pour out the music?
Meredith, pray do.
We pause briefly for station identification.
KFI, Los Angeles.
Now, this is Bob Young again, and we start the second half of our Maxwell House Good News program with a new tune. It's a big favorite all over the country. You must have been a beautiful baby. Play it, baby. Meredith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Maxwell House presents a Hollywood success story. The kind of story that makes Hollywood, Hollywood. A city of dreams come true, if you're lucky. A little over a year ago, a young man walked onto the MGM lot to make a test for a bit part in Rosalie. Instead, he suddenly found himself being hailed as Hollywood's newest discovery in romantic leading men. It all came about this way. Playing a bit part in Saratoga, he came to the notice of Clark Gable and director Jack Conway, who called him to the attention of studio executives. Producer Harry Rapp was looking for a leading man to work with Wally Berry and Virginia Bruce in Bad Man of Brimstone. He happened to see this young actor's screen test and said, "That's my man." And next morning, this young man discovered that he was a discovery. And now may I introduce the hero of this little thumbnail drama, my good friend, Dennis O'Keefe.
Thanks, Bob, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Denny, let's have the story from way back at the beginning. You know, the works.
Okay, Bob. Starting from way back, my folks were known in vaudeville as Eddie Flanagan and Charlotte Ravenscroft. Even if I do say so myself, I think they were one of the finest teams that ever trooped to a day. Later, Dad teamed up with Neely Edwards, and they played the circuit as Flanagan and Edwards. Do you remember the Hallroom Boys?
Do I? I used to laugh my head off at them when I was a kid.
Well, Bob, even before they were in pictures, I traveled with them all over the country, so you can see I was practically raised in the trunk. Matter of fact, I've got vaudeville in my blood.
Oh, so that's where it went. Oh, well, I... Seriously, Denny, if your dad was one of the Hallroom Boys, then Hollywood isn't a new thing with you.
Well, no, it isn't, Robert. You see, after Dad went into pictures, we settled out here, and I went to school in Hollywood. After graduation, success in pictures was a big ambition, so I started trying. Many months of extra work, when I was lucky enough to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Mr. Rapp came my way.
Which all goes to prove that Mr. Rapp used excellent judgment. Because since Bad Man of Brimstone, you've turned in some fine performances. And Denny, my scouts tell me that your new picture, Burn Him Up O'Connor, is really a killer diller.
Bob, it's full of thrills, spills, and crashes that I'm sure will have you on the edge of your chair, tense with excitement.
Well, Denny, you've got some darn nice people with you in Burn Him Up O'Connor. Harry Carey, Alan Curtis, Nat Pendleton, Charlie Grapewin.
Yes, and don't forget my leading lady, Bob. She's one of the sweetest, most talented, and nicest girls on the MGM lot.
Thank you, Dennis.
Well, Cecilia Parker.
How are you, Bob?
Fine, Cecilia. As you probably gathered, we're talking about Burn Him Up O'Connor.
Yes, and you take my word for it. Dennis is grand in the picture.
No, well, you're pretty swell in it yourself, Cecilia.
Pardon me if I'm protruding. Oh. But it is... is this the Good News Coffee Company?
Why, it's Nat Pendleton.
Silence, cheering thousands. Hello there, Mr. Young and Mr. O'Keefe. Gosh, I'm sure ignited to be up here amongst all you extinguished-looking people.
Hello, Nat. You remember me?
Oh, why, sure. It's Miss Parker. Gosh, I hope you'll forgive me for not recognizing you first off. Permit me to tender my Apollo. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Nat.
Say, if you really forgive me, well, just to prove it, would you mind giving me a little kiss on the forehead?
Of course. Where does it begin?
Right here, under my widower's peak. Gosh. Say, by the by, you certainly look elegant tonight. What with your long lashes and everything, your glances are sure decapitating. Gosh, you're pretty.
All right, Don Juan, cut.
Professional jealousy, huh?
Nat, you stepped right into the middle of a little round table discussion of Burn Him Up O'Connor. Won't you join us?
Burn Him Up O'Connor? Who's he? A fireman?
Hey, brainwave, don't tell me you've forgotten our picture already. Remember? Automobile races? Crashes? I'm driving a midget?
For shame. A big fellow like you picking on dwarfs. Why, you make me feel absolutely repulsive.
No. You tell him, Cecilia.
Look, Nat, don't you remember Dennis playing the part of Burn Him Up O'Connor? Think now, you, Buddy Buttle, his mechanic. The Indianapolis Speedway, dizzy turns, burning cars, and death-defying spills.
Oh, sure. I knowed all along the picture you was talking about. I was just making fun, you know, tickling your invisibility. I seen the picture at the preview.
Oh, you did, Nat? What'd you think of it?
Well, do you want my pure, undiluted, candied opinion?
No less.
Well, I liked it. I thought you and Miss Parker and the rest of the cast was divine. I might even say you were monstrous. But tell me, who was that double ugly with the face like a pretzel that played the part of your helper?
Nat.
That was you.
Who? What? It's a lie.
No, it was you, all right.
Say, I knew I'd seen that face somewheres before.
Well, that's an easy face to forget.
Oh, Frank Morgan.
More professional jealousy.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Frank?
Say, I saw that picture of yours, that Burnham Up O'Connor, and I want to tell you, I thought it was great.
Oh, you liked it, huh?
Did I? It brought me back to the old days when I streaked the red track in Indianapolis piloting my Emery special.
Right.
Without the... What?
Are you trying to tell these people you were a race driver, Mr. Morgan?
Daredevil, Morgan, sir.
Oh.
The nerviest driver that ever skidded a car around a turn. I used to start every race by nailing down my accelerator to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I always finished either in front or in the hospital.
When did you do your racing, Frank?
Oh, well, it was before your time, I should say, my boy.
Oh, you can count on that, Dennis.
My most spectacular exploit was probably in the race of 1912 against the greatest field of drivers that ever assembled on a track. I was driving a Morgan Special, and as luck would have it, I only managed to arrive at the track 10 seconds before the race began. My car was standing in the pits. I looked around for my mechanic. He was nowhere to be found.
Well, what did you do?
Well, I looked around for the fellow. I couldn't wait, so I clapped on my helmet and started. Needless to say, I led the field for the first 400 miles.
No motor trouble in all that time?
Oh, it was astounding. I had my fingers crossed. I couldn't believe my good fortune. But when I had just 5 laps to go, fate caught up with me.
Fate? What was he driving?
Don't interrupt. The other drivers were right on my tail, bunched behind me, when suddenly I heard a terrific knocking in my motor. It was so heavy, I thought the car would fall apart. But I kept going.
Gee, and no mechanic to fix it.
That was the trouble. Tearing along at 110 miles an hour, I locked my ankle in the steering wheel and reached out over the hood with a wrench. I lifted it, and what do you think?
What?
My mechanic was in there pounding with a hammer. So I put him in the rumble seat, and we won the race. Well, so long, fellas.
Sorry, Dennis, but we can't do anything about him. But it was grand of all of you to drop in, and I know we're all going to enjoy Burnham Up O'Connor.
Thanks, Bob, very much.
You bet, Dennis. Good night. Well, now comes Tony Martin again. Say, Tony, any word on the fifth race yet?
No, we ought to get a flash in about 20 minutes, though, Bob.
All right, you keep singing. This time, another oldie that's come back to life. You all remember, I Cried for You.
I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me. Every road has a turning. That's one thing you're learning. I cried for you. What a fool I used to be. Now I found new eyes, just a little bit bluer. I found a heart just a little bit truer. I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me. Listen to my second chorus carefully. For I cried for you. Now it's your turn to cry over me.
I never thought you'd deny him the crime that you do time and run.
Every road has a turning.
It's turnabout. Now tell me how you like it.
That's one thing
Maggie.
That I've been learning, baby. I cry
never again,
for I'm
a peculiar kind of a guy.
What a fool,
fool another one.
Used to be.
Beneath the ice, saving all of my tears. So now
I'm two eyes a little blue. Found a heart that's just a little truer.
Once upon a time, this gentleman cried for you.
Now it's your turn to cry over me. I cry for you. Just a little bit bluer. I found a heart just a little bit truer. Remember that I cried for you.
For you.
Now it's your turn to cry over love.
Oh, that was beautiful, Tony.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, continuing our Maxwell House program...
Excuse me, Bob.
Hello, Daddy. What's on your mind?
I came to ask you a favor.
Yes?
You know that poem that Snooks recited a couple of weeks ago?
The Owl and the Pussycat, yes.
Well, she's been pestering me to let her... Well, you know the kid.
Mm-hmm. Stage struck, huh?
What do you mean, stage struck? She can recite as well as your kid.
All right, Daddy. Don't lose your temper. We'll be very happy to let Snooks recite another poem. Bring her on.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Oh, Snooks?
Yes, Daddy?
Go right ahead and recite.
All right.
Give the title. Go on.
The Three Little Kittens.
What?
The three little kittens, they lost their mittens, and they began to cry. Oh, Mother dear, we'll sadly feel our mittens we have lost.
What?
What, lost your mittens, you naughty kittens, then you shall have no pie. The three little kittens, they found their mittens, and they began to cry. Oh, Mama dear, heel, heel, our mittens we have found.
What?
Well, found your mittens, your darling kittens, then you shall have some pie. The three little kittens put on their mittens and soon ate up the pie. Oh, Mama dear, we greatly fear our mittens we have soiled. What, soiled your mittens, you naughty kittens? Then they began to die. Meow, meow, meow. The three little kittens, they washed their mittens and hung them up to dry. Oh, Mama dear, look here, look here. Our mittens we have washed.
What?
What? Wash your mittens, you darling kittens. But I smell a rat close by. Hush, hush. Meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. When do I stop saying meow?
Now.
The end.
Now here's Warren Hull with not one but several words to the wise. Am I right, Warren?
Right as usual, Robert. For to the wiser sex, I'd like to talk for just a moment. Ladies, when you go to your grocer's tomorrow, just run your eye along the shelves where he keeps his coffee. When you come to those familiar blue cans you know contain Maxwell House coffee, look a little more closely. You'll see that some of the cans of Maxwell House are plainly marked with the word drip grind. The others are labeled regular grind. Now, of course, in every can of the new Maxwell House today, there's an extra richness, an extra full-bodied flavor and goodness that the wonderfully improved blend and the new roasting process have made possible. But there's real reason why Maxwell House comes to you in not one, but two different grinds. If I ask you why, I'm pretty sure you'd say right away...
That's easy. I've learned from experience there's no such thing as a satisfactory all-purpose grind of coffee. To get best results day in and day out, I know I must use coffee that comes correctly ground for the way I make it in my home.
Exactly. And because we know that's true, because we want to help you enjoy the marvelous flavor and fragrance of this new Maxwell House to the fullest, we've developed two scientifically correct grinds. You'll find the regular grind Maxwell House comes just right for a perfect result by percolator or boiled method. Or if you prefer drip coffee, the special drip grind will give you clear, sparkling, full-flavored coffee in any type of drip or glass coffee maker. So try a pound of the new Maxwell House tomorrow. Or if yours is a large family, you'll find the 2-pound can economical and convenient. And remember to ask for the grind that's right for your method of making coffee. You'll discover just one more reason why Maxwell House coffee, famous for over half a century, is today giving pleasure to more people than ever before in its history.
And now Melissa Gorgeous again. This time she's a guest in Meredith Wilson's concert hall. She sings a very beautiful arrangement of Rimsky-Korsakov's immortal Song of India in the original Russian lyric. It's cordial. Another of those good news satires. This one is titled, If Men Went Apartment Hunting as Women Do. Bob Young and Hanley Stafford are trying to help Frank Morgan find a new apartment. Here they are, riding along in Morgan's car.
Boys, this apartment hunting is wearing my nerves to a shallow friend.
I'll say. And did you get a load of that horrible-looking landlord at the last place? Ooh, what a face. I've seen better-looking pans under an icebox.
Stafford, what time is it?
It must be 5 o'clock. I looked at my watch about an hour ago, and it was 2, and I keep it an hour past, so it must be 5.
Yes.
Well, I just have time to look at one more place, and then I have to get home and start cooking dinner. What have we got checked off next in the want ad?
Well, let's see. Here, Morgan, this sounds like a darling little place. Listen, yeah. For rent, furnished apartment, nice and airy.
Yeah.
Sunshine right outside front door.
Oh.
On 4th Street, between 5th and 6th, the Venus de Milo Arms.
The Venus de Milo Arms?
Yes.
Well, that sounds enchanting. Let's go.
Let's.
Say, Morgan, you still haven't told us why you're moving from the place where you live now. Jenny O'Keefe said it's a perfectly precious little apartment.
Yes, little is right. We were so cramped, my poor little dog had to wag his tail up and down instead of sideways.
Oh, say, I just adore your little dog. What is he, a Pekingese or a Great Dane?
Oh, he's a very rare breed. He's a cross between an English cur and a Scotch mongrel. I'm going to enter him in the dog show.
You think he'll win?
No, but he'll meet some awfully nice dogs.
Oh.
Well, here's the place, and here's a wonderful spot to park, right in front of this fire hydrant.
Oh, Morgan, you're the luckiest one when it comes to finding parking places.
Alma used to say the same thing when she was courting me.
Well, looks like they should have some very sweet apartments in here. Let's see. The sign says, manager, one flight up.
Yeah, well, let's walk up. It'll do me good. I gained 2 pounds last week, and I can hardly get into my volleyball britches. Well, here, this door says manager. I'll knock.
Well, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Why, well, sir, what in heaven's name are you doing here?
Come in, boy. I'm the manager here. I get my rent cheaper that way. Won't you all sit down and make yourselves to hum? How about something to drink?
Oh, lovely. That's lovely.
What do you have, young?
Coke.
Staffy boy?
I'll take orange juice.
Morgan?
Well, just plain water for me. You see, I'm driving.
Well, boys, here you are. I have it right handy here. My, but you're all just looking simply stunning. And, Stafford, you've done something to your hair.
I was waiting for you to notice it. How do you like it?
Oh, it's positively exotic. That's what it is. Exotic.
It's so simple, too. I just let my sideburns grow and it warm and bleached the other.
I did the same thing with my car. Had half of it painted red and the other half painted blue.
Oh, I meant to ask you about that, Morgan. It looks so peculiar.
Well, I know, but every time I have an accident, you should hear the witnesses contradict each other.
Well, say, Morgan, we better get a look at that apartment. I just must get home. I have an orange meringue broccoli dream cake in the oven.
Oh.
Well, this is the apartment that's for rent. How do you like it?
How many rooms?
6 rooms, parlor, bath, kitchen, and 3 closets.
It's rather dark, isn't it?
Well, it's usually sunny, but the lady next door had twins last week, and her clothesline runs right by this window.
It seems to be a nice, quiet place anyway.
Oh, yes. We don't allow any pets, children, radios, or phonographs.
Do you think they'd mind much? I have a fountain pen that scratches just a little.
They don't allow children. Well, how about the twins next door?
Well, they didn't have them when they moved in. Just goes to show you, you can't trust the tenant.
That's right.
Have you a refrigerator here? No, but we have a perfectly adorable ice woman, and she comes in so handy if you ever need a fourth at bridge.
Is this the only apartment in the building for rent?
No, there's one right across the hall. It's a studio apartment.
Yeah.
The door's unlocked. Just open it and take 3 steps down. The light is on your left.
Well, I'll be right back, boys.
What's this, Wilson?
Oh, that's the wall bed. Oh, don't pull it down. My father's asleep there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, Stafford, that door there leads to the bath.
Oh, I'll just peek in. Oh, excuse me.
Wilson, there's somebody in there taking a bath. Oh, that's my brother, Cedric.
Why, isn't he skinny?
What's the matter? Boy, look. Morgan opened the wrong door and fell down the elevator shaft.
Oh, Morgan, are you all right?
Yes, of course. But hey, if you're coming down to look at this apartment, watch out for the first step. It's a honey.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, next week we're going to have another great show with a special return engagement of the 2 stars you enjoyed so much last Thursday, Melvin Douglas and Virginia Bruce. Another welcome guest will be the famous Russian singer, Zarova. And, of course, you'll want to hear Fanny Bryce and Hanley Stafford, Frank Morgan, Tony Martin, and Meredith Wilson. In the meantime...
Say, Bob.
Yes, Warren?
I just got the results of the 5th race.
Huh? Did Blue Bolt get it?
Was it Green Goddess?
What about White Queen? That's what Morgan gave me.
Yes, and he gave me Yellow Jack.
Well, who won it?
A horse called Colorblind. 1/8 length.
Warren, did you say colorblind?
Yes.
I had it. So long, fellas.
Oh. Good old Frank. Well, see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. And in the meantime, go to the movies and take the family with you. I want to give my personal endorsement to one great picture, the world-famous production of Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion, with Leslie Howard and the new discovery, Wendy Hiller, opening at the Lowe's Theater in Dayton, Ohio, on Thursday, January 19th. Don't miss it. This is Bob Young saying good night until next Thursday.
This is Warren Hull saying good night and good luck for the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. This is the National Broadcasting Company.